Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fire that knocked out power to London's Heathrow Airport is not considered suspicious, but it has caused a lot of headaches for travelers after an 18-hour shutdown. James Crothers was sleeping on his flight back to London when he felt his plane turn around.
We were told maybe there'll be flights again later, maybe not. But I mean, there's some people who I think won't be going back home until Monday.
Under pressure from the Trump administration to make policy changes or lose federal funding, Columbia University is making some changes. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Columbia's interim president says the university will conduct a thorough review of regional studies programs, starting with the Middle East. Columbia will also bar protests inside academic buildings and wearing face masks on campus to conceal one's identity.
Tense moments in court late today in Washington as a judge accused the Trump administration of knowingly violating his orders as he reviews last weekend's deportation of 200-plus Venezuelan men to El Salvador. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. More than 3 million deaths are reported to the Social Security Administration each year, and they say the agency's records are highly accurate. Here's Joanne Krulotz.
Of these millions of death reports received each year, less than one-third of 1% are erroneously reported deaths that need to be corrected. Deaths are reported to Social Security primarily from the states, but also from other sources, including family members, funeral homes, federal agencies, and financial institutions. In a 2008 audit report, the IG noted that SSA receives most death reports from funeral homes or friends and relatives of the deceased. SSA considers such first-party death reports to be verified and immediately posts them to the Death Master file. Instances when a person is erroneously reported as deceased to Social Security can be devastating to the individual spouse and dependent children. Benefits are stopped in the short term, which can cause financial hardship until fixed and benefits restored, and the process to prove an erroneous death will always seem too long and challenging. If a person suspects that they have been incorrectly listed as deceased on their Social Security record, they should contact their local Social Security office as soon as possible. They can locate their nearest Social Security office at ssa.gov/agency/contact. They should be prepared to bring at least one piece of current original form of identification. Social Security takes immediate action to correct its records, and the agency can provide a letter that the error has been corrected that can be shared with other organizations, agencies, and employers.
For additional information, visit ssa.gov and search for What to Do When Someone Dies. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks drain the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. At one point, Milwaukee led by 35. Kyle Kuzma on what's kept the Bucks together despite losing five of their last eight.
I think our positivity as a group, our communication as a group, thinking that Golden State game and even OKC and the games prior, we kind of get into like a phase where we don't talk as much. We're like locked in. But I think consistently we did a good job of being positive and having a good spirit. I thought that was a good thing.
March Madness, Marquette faces the New Mexico Lobos tonight in Cleveland in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers advance after beating Montana yesterday, 85-66. John Blackwell led with 19 points. Up next, Wisconsin faces BYU tomorrow night at 6:25. And in Madison, the Boys State High School semifinals continue today at the Kohl Center. The state finals are tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, high in the upper 30s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s, rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening. It's 46 right now.
The madness.
Blackwell inside and he sends it down with the right hand.
Continues.
Sanjay with bad intentions.
Sessions.
It's the NCAA Tournament.
The Wisconsin Badgers will advance to the round of 32.
Join us tomorrow, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and BYU. Our coverage begins at 5:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbus.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number 1. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Allbus Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Friday night as we bring to a close yet another week as we inch toward summer here in the state of Wisconsin. Great to have you with me. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Mexican food? It is National Taco Day. And that's the question we were asking tonight. So we've gotten a lot of great answers. Most people want a margarita with whatever Mexican food it is. And we played the great Jim Gaffigan bit about how Mexican food is basically all the same ingredients. But I think you could say that for a lot of ethnic foods, too. So our question tonight, though, be part of the show. What is your favorite Mexican food? It is a bar band Friday night in place of Terry Barr tonight, who is on vacation. We went to the bullpen and we got the lefty. Conrad, is Rocker a lefty?
I don't know. We'll have to ask
him. He is tonight. He's a lefty. We'll ask him. Either way, that's a perfect analogy because my next guest made a really cool documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers. Sean Hannish joins us now on the stream. Sean, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How you doing?
First of all, I apologize. I'm sure you have heard people mimicking Bob Uecker saying just a bit outside more than anyone has a right to over the last few months.
You know, let's be honest, though. It's kind of part of the design. It's part of the marketing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Hey, before we jump into what's happening with the film, I saw that you posted on Facebook a couple months ago about the fires, and you guys seem to be in a little bit of danger. How is everything? Did you guys get through that okay?
Well, really appreciate you asking, Pete. Boy, I'd never experienced a night like that Tuesday night. I had most of my, let's just start it this way. I went outside that evening, and that afternoon the winds were so strong it blew a tree onto my car. And Then that night I went outside and you know, they tell you something sounds like a freight train. The winds were so strong, it sounded like a locomotive.
No kidding.
It was a rough night, man. I was up all night. I had packed the car with my son, and it's a really interesting experiment to be like, okay, I'm going to lose my house. What do I take?
Right.
You know, fortunately, I actually didn't end up having to evacuate. I live in Pasadena, just south of the Rose Bowl. But everywhere from the Rose Bowl north and then all the way to the east through Altadena. Oh, man. Unfortunately, I have 6 friends that lost their homes. One of the producers on Just a Bit Outside, fortunately, his home's standing, but he's still not back in it.
No kidding.
The streets are it's apocalyptic what happened up there. Yeah. And also on the Palisades. It's hard to grasp. Even living here, it's hard to grasp. I mean, I've driven through some of the neighborhoods and wow, it's, but you know what, one good thing that came out of it, I think is, LA doesn't feel a lot of times like a community. So
yeah,
big and diverse and also rent, it goes on for you know, tens and tens of miles in every direction, that it actually felt like a community for once. And, you know, it kind of brought out the best in people.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to help out where we can.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear. And it's weird, Sean. I mean, when I lived out there, you'd always see the fires in the hills and we'd see ash come down into the valley. I lived in the Valley Village area and yeah. It just didn't seem like, well, it's never going to touch us. And then when you saw what happened a couple months ago, it's like, wow, this can happen at any time. It is absolutely real. It was horrifying. So glad you're okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's fortunately people listened to the, listened to the fire and the police most everybody evacuated, which, thrilled about because it could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. Now, listen, here's the other question. When something like that happens, Sean, I know when I moved back here, people are like, oh, you're much better off here than with all those earthquakes and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, we went through a couple earthquakes, but I'm more worried about slipping on ice here than I am. Like, but that was the first time I looked and saw what was happening and said, yeah, I don't know if I want to go back there. The fire just scared the living daylights out of me. Did you have any moment during that time where you thought, well, maybe the Midwest isn't so bad, or did it affect you?
First of all, I love the Midwest. I'm, you know, grew up in Milwaukee and Brookfield. Yeah. So I have designs to, you know, maybe, you know, spend some more time there as I get older. but I love it. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. The summers are great. The falls are the best in the world. So
definitely.
I will say the it has an effect. You know, the biggest thing right now is the heat. The heat in the summer has gotten even over the 30 plus years I've lived here. It's gotten worse, and so it's really a difficult. Believe it or not. Really hard to live here in June, July, or really July, August, September. So anyway, that's my little.
Yeah. Makes you want to jump in a freshwater lake, I'm sure.
Well, it does.
All right. So it's great to have you here, Sean. I saw that you have a couple of Wisconsin screenings coming up. For those who might not know who are listening, tell us, give us a little bit of background about the documentary first, and then we'll get to your screenings.
Well, happy to. I mean, the real backstory is that I was 14 years old in 1982 and had the good fortune of my parents having season tickets. So, and they always had to the Brewers, I believe since almost year one. I grew up obviously, just dyed in the wool Brewer fan and, as with all Wisconsin sports teams too, as we all are. But I was able to watch this magical season from County Stadium, from the same seats, you know, whenever I could get the tickets from my dad.
Right.
So it was so memorable to everybody who lived through it, you know, no matter your age at that time. And the characters were so memorable. We felt like we knew them. You could see them in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, felt like you could approach them. And then, you know, that's the real backstory. And also remembering how dramatic the season was, you know, the ups and the downs, the expectations, and then those crazy series at the end, you know, losing 3 out of 4 to Baltimore, winning the last game to make the playoffs, losing 2 in Anaheim, coming back and being the first team in pro history to win 3 in a row at home in a 5-game series
yeah.
to clinch. You know, and then the crazy World Series we had, the ups and downs, we're in the advantage and they're in the advantage, and then we're winning going to the bottom of the sixth. So it was, you know, an incredible ride. Now cut to about 4.5 years ago, Kelly Call, who was 15 years old at the time, who's my producing partner on this. He was 15 from Burlington, and he caught all the games on Channel 18 back in the day and on radio with, of course, you know, the great Bob Uecker calling them. And he went on that same ride. And so he he's kind of a big deal. He was president of the CBS for 6.5 years. So when he would go to he went to a couple of golf tournaments and he got paired up with his childhood hero, Gorman Thomas. And they golfed together and Gorman asked Kelly all about his favorite shows on CBS. And Kelly asked Gorman all about the stories of 1982. And, Yeah, Kelly came back and he said, you know, I think there's something here. Gorman's telling me some really stories I've never heard before. And that's when we embarked on this project.
So great. My guest is Sean Hannish, who made the film Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. It played through Wisconsin. I know it was in Marcus Theaters. Sean, I assume you guys have done other film festivals. You were on right before the film came out. And I love talking to filmmakers after they've been through the process of the release. Were your expectations met, exceeded? Do you still have a ways to go? How do you feel about how everything played out after the release?
Well, I would say it wildly exceeded my expectations.
Fantastic.
When you know, I'll say this, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, 20 years ago or even 12 years ago when my first film came out, you're kind of, the expectation is to hopefully be in theaters. This day and age, the expectation is, oh, I hope to be on streaming.
Yeah.
But as filmmaker, you're like, no, there's nothing like everybody sitting together in the dark in the theater and watching a story as a community. And so to be able to be in Marcus Theaters, we thought we were going to be there for 2 weeks in like a half dozen theaters. And we ended up being in theaters for 2 months.
Wow.
And that's not because Marcus was just being nice to us. They were great partners. They were amazing partners. But it's because of the word of mouth and the people really enjoyed. Some of these screenings turned into like tailgates.
Oh, that is great.
People coming in their jerseys, like, you know, people in their, you know, Yelich jerseys, people in their, you know, Robin Yount jerseys.
Yeah. And
they'd have a couple beers or sodas at the bar, bring them into the theater and cheer like they're at a game. And they, you know, it's something really, really special. We'll never forget it. It's really launched a really good word of mouth. I mean, you know, I hope this doesn't come off as like a humble brag, but it, you know, we're currently 100% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
Again, talk about wildly exceeding expectations. I think people, when they see the movie, even if they're not a Brewers fan or even if they're not a baseball fan, they're pleasantly surprised to discover these really interesting characters and go on this really emotional ride.
That is incredible, Sean. And it's not a brag. First of all, when someone dedicates their life to making a film, the entire process, the script, pre-production, production, post, you know, you've been through it. It's so much work. It's such a tedious process. You can brag all you want, especially 100% on Rotten Tomatoes is incredible.
Thank you.
You have a couple screenings coming up in Wisconsin, and that's why I kind of wanted to have you. We have to do a quick break, but let's talk about those when we come back. Are you going to be at the Wisconsin Film Festival?
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. I'll be there too. I can't wait.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that after a very short break. Sean Hannish is here, the director and the creative force behind Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. You can find out next where to see that in the theater while you still can here in Wisconsin. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We got to live together. I am no better, and neither are you. We are the same, whatever we do. You love me, you hate me.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Once you and your spouse retire, you'll have some decisions to make, decisions that could affect your quality of life in your retirement years. For starters, how much should you withdraw each year from your 401k and other retirement accounts? You'll want to avoid taking too much too soon. Next, when should you take Social Security? If you wait until your full retirement age, probably 67, You'll typically get bigger payments than if you started taking benefits at age 62. Also, one spouse's decision may affect the other in terms of spousal benefits. Finally, if you haven't already done so, you'll need to work with your legal professional to decide which estate planning documents are needed, such as a will, a living trust, and various powers of attorney. You and your spouse will want to discuss all your choices and then decide which steps to take. After you've got your plans in place, you may well find that you can fully enjoy your retirement years.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoke, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Winter is out and winning is in. It's our break in the spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station that gets set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WFHR.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We have breaking sports news here, ladies and gentlemen. Norfolk has cut the lead from 32 to 22. Florida now leads by only 22 points. Stand by. That is an upset in the making.
I told you they're second half team.
We will keep you abreast of the situation, ladies and gentlemen. This is fun. It's a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. Terry Barr is not with us. Rocker is. That's the great thing about Max Inc. Radio. They're somewhat interchangeable. They know music, and Rocker will be here to tell us all about some new music you probably haven't heard. That's coming up at 7:35. We have a few more minutes with our current guest, Sean Hanisch, the director behind Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. So, Sean, where, aside from the Wisconsin Film Festival, do you know when your screening is then, and where else can people see it if they don't go to the festival?
At the festival, we're screening Friday, April 4th.
Nice.
And you can find all that at the Wisconsin Film Festival website.
Great.
The other screenings we're having, actually, the Times in Wauwatosa is doing a whole kind of early baseball season series. So they've got Moneyball, they've got Major League.
Oh, great.
And they programmed us in for next Friday and Saturday night, the 29th and 30th, down in Wauwatosa. So, you know, and it's funny, our website always kind of keeps everybody up to date as to the local screenings, because every once in a while, an independent cinema, an independent theater will jump out and say, hey, you know, we'd love to show your film. And we're always, if we can, we will.
That's all I'll say. So, all right. So those are great. You mentioned the website. Where can people, is it justabitoutside.com? Where can people go for that kind of?
Yeah, justabitoutsidemovie.com.
Perfect. All right. So check that out. You have, Sean, I think I'm kind of fascinated by, there's another Wisconsin guy. I don't know if you've ever crossed paths with him in LA, Steve Burrows, great guy. Also from Milwaukee. He made a film called Chump Change. He was in the narrative world. Then he went and did commercials. And now he's got this award-winning HBO documentary called Bleed Out, where he did a documentary about his mother. I'm fascinated by people like you that can have success in the narrative world and then jump out and do a documentary and have success there too. What made you, not that you ever regret it, but that's a commitment. Like, documentaries take a while. So you're stepping away from your bread and butter to make this documentary. Were you scared, or were you ever like, is this worth it?
The worth it question is, you know, you kind of, when you're deciding, there's a moment where you're kind of like, am I all in on this?
Yeah.
And there was a moment early on really when we talked to Gorman and, you know, and Kelly and I really got our heads together that we thought, you know, there's something here. After we interviewed Robin Yount, who's our first interview, then we were all in. And you're like, you could kind of feel what the movie was going to be like. So
yeah.
I don't know, you know, as a filmmaker, there's no, you know, I will say your filter gets tighter the more experience you have. And you're like, is that really going to make a good story? Will people really be interested in that? And like, why would people be interested in that now? And once you can, I was able to answer all of those questions, at least in my mind. And I knew the story had a lot of heart. So I guess that answers your question of,
yeah,
was it going to be worth it? I mean, was it worth it to me? I got to sit down with all of my childhood heroes.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I'm glad the movie turned out, but even just the experience of the process was awesome. As regards jumping from narrative to documentary, I will say this, it's very different, but at its core, it's very similar. Like the mode of production is very different. In narrative film, everything is based on the script. Literally everything, your casting, right, your financing, your locations, your editing schedule, everything. In documentary, you're writing that script in the edit bay. So I will admit, while editing a narrative feature is a 3-4-6 month process, editing a documentary is, in this case, about 2-2.5 years.
Wow.
And that's really where the stamina comes in.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, I will admit, you know, being a narrative filmmaker and this being my first documentary, I was a little frustrated by how long it was taking us in post. But it is its own process. And, you know, the goal was just to make the best film possible. And I think, you know, I think we accomplished it.
That's great. My guest is Sean Hannish. You can see his film Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers at the Wisconsin Film Festival April 4th or in Wauwatosa on the 29th and 30th. Go to justabitoutsidemovie.com. The movie or movie? I guess if you Google it, they'll find it.
It's movie. Okay.
I made you have to think there, didn't I?
No, I know. It's the movie.
The movie, okay.
Just a Bit Outside, the movie.
Got it. All right, very cool. So what's next for you? You got another, you going back into the narrative world? You going to make another doc?
Well, can I let folks know where they can see the movie outside of theaters?
Absolutely. Oh, I was going to ask. I forgot to ask you that anyway. Yeah.
Well, I was going to, great news is we came out on DVD about 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
And ever since we came out, we're the number one documentary DVD on Amazon.
Oh, fantastic.
It speaks to the fans. It speaks to the great fans in Wisconsin, because I'm sure, you know, a lot of those are from, although they're from outside the state too, but really appreciate that support.
Yeah.
The really big news that we released, less than 48 hours ago, is that we're going to be streaming on the Roku channel starting April the 11th.
Okay. I thought I saw that. And okay.
And that's free.
That's fantastic.
All you have to do is go to therokuchannel.com. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your iPad. You can watch it on your, you know, smart TV. We're so excited. It's exclusively on the Roku channel. It starts April the 11th. So now everybody can see it, and we're not just opening in the U.S. It's Canada, UK,
yeah,
Mexico.
That's fantastic, Sean. Hey, listen, congratulations. A successful theatrical run, DVD, and now a stream or two. Well done. Very impressive. And I hope I run into you at the Wisconsin Film Festival. It'd be great to say hello.
I'll be there. Kelly and I will be there. Okay. I'd love to meet in person.
Absolutely. Continued success, my friend. Thanks for taking the time tonight.
Thank you so much, Pete. We appreciate you guys.
Sean Hannish, check it out, folks. You have many ways to see Just a Bit Outside now. When we come back, you might have thought there was no Bar Band Friday night because Terry Barr will not be here, but you would be wrong. Rocker joins us after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what's up. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll have another update on that game. It's getting closer. It's 20 now.
Oh, wow.
A lot of time. 10 minutes. All right, we're coming right back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Building towers for sight.
This This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The legislative breakfast took place at Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids Friday morning. Four local and state officials attended to give residents an update on their work and take questions. Senator Pat Teston represents the 24th Senate District. Teston spoke to his efforts to attract more people and businesses to Wisconsin.
We are in direct competition with 49 other states, and we have to position ourselves to make the case as to why this is the best place to come and relocate, rehabilitate, start a new career, start a new business.
He said we need innovative ideas to bring people here from other states or bigger cities. Representative Scott Krug from Assembly District 72 said Wisconsin Rapids has a lot of strengths despite losing the mill as an employer.
If you're over in Stevens Point and you can't find a starter home, where are you looking? Come to Wisconsin Rapids.
Krug also pointed out Solaris's high-speed internet for people looking to work from home and the bountiful lakes and parks we have in Wood County. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher said in his first 11 months in office, he's worked to reach out to surrounding communities to increase communication.
Within the city itself, just breaking down the silos between departments and getting the department heads to work together through mainstream the services and make it as efficient and effective as possible.
Mayor Zacher said they're also working to upgrade the city website to be more smartphone friendly for easy communication. Senator Corey Tomchek represents the 29th Senate District and is in the middle of his first term. He said he's reintroducing his 9 bills from last year Governor Evers vetoed.
I am very interested in fixing our tax brackets and fixing the tax burden for people in the state of Wisconsin to improve our standing in the Midwest and improve everybody's lives.
All representatives encourage people to reach out and make their voices heard on the issues they care about. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season 1 was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season 2 of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, high in the upper 30s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s. Rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening. It's 46 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbush Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to the economics department chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now, your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Special guest filling in for Terry Barr, the lefty out of the bullpen, as we are referring to him this evening. He co-hosts Max Inc. Radio with Terry and Jimmy, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio, and he joins us tonight for Bar Band Friday, filling in for Terry. It's Rocker. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's happening, Pete? Thanks for having me on tonight.
Hey, thanks for doing this. I'm. It's great to talk to you again, especially after all you've been through. How are you doing?
I am doing really well. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. You know, for those who don't know, I died on stage, right? I was playing with my band down here in Madison and had a heart attack on stage. And it saved my life. Wow. Having it on stage in front of people, because I got help immediately, and it took the paramedics and all the people that were there and stuff about 45 minutes to revive me. But after a hospital stay and another hospital stay, but now I'm back on the mend. So it's pretty great. I'm feeling great and doing a lot of cardio rehab and eating well and doing all those things to kind of reclaim health.
Good for you, but I'm very glad to hear that. And that was such an incredible story. So are you playing again? Are you playing music again?
Not quite.
Not quite.
I'm still kind of, working up strength and getting the stamina back. But I'm fully, working to play drums with the band again.
Excellent. Well, all the more reason I appreciate you filling in tonight, buddy. It's good to see you, and thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm kind of leaving this. This is kind of your dime, your dance floor tonight, because we have our typical format, but you've got us some really cool. We've got a lot of different clips here. So where do you want to start, Rocker?
Well, I'll start with Max Inc. Radio.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night and Sunday night here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 6 p.m. to midnight. And we play Wisconsin made music. We interview Wisconsin artists and a lot of local personalities that are somehow related to the music industry, or sometimes just cool businesses or fundraising events. So there's just a lot of stuff. And we also usually feature a live performance every week. And we have a performer come in and play for us. And sometimes it's a whole band. Sometimes it's a local performer. So it's a lot of fun. But, we unplug from the politics. And it's all about local music. We are local music.
Everybody needs a break. And it's when I first heard, when I started doing this, I thought preparing a 2-hour show every night was a lot of work. And it is. But preparing a 6-hour show, even though it's once a week, I don't even know how you guys do that. It's very impressive. So let's start with, am I saying this right, Rocker? Harmonious Whale?
Well, let's see. Yeah, let's go with Harmonious Whale. What I like to do is preview some shows that are coming around.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of Madison shows right now loaded up. Harmonious Whale, they are going to be playing Saturday, March 22nd at the North Street Cabaret. That's at North Avenue, Eakin Park in Madison.
Okay.
And Harmonious Whale, they are purveyors of Americana-infused gypsy jazz.
Wow.
Sims Delaney Potoff, he is a mandolin virtuoso, band leader, vocalist. He went to school at Berklee School of Music. Maggie Delaney Potoff, she's a vocalist extraordinaire and his wife, but her percussive instrument of choice is a cardboard box.
What?
And she plays, she plays that with brushes. And it's great. The box still has the logo on it. Could come from a restaurant or, Amazon. But she gets amazing sound out of it. It's pretty cool. Scott Lavinka, a gypsy guitar whiz, and then a master bassist, Forrest Evans, who dazzles on upright bass. So they've been around for 30 years here in Madison.
Jeez.
And they're about to put out a new album. And I thought I'd bring in a little song that they did, Beyond the Pale. This is from their latest album. This is Harmonious Whale.
All right.
30 days out on the road. Forced the question if you please.
not that was Harmonious Whale and yes. A little sampling from Beyond the Pale. And that's, you call that Americana infused gypsy jazz rocker?
Yeah.
Love that mandolin. Well,
really good. Really entertaining, too. Great storytellers. Really fun band to see. You can go see them coming up at the North Street Cabaret in Madison on Saturday, March 22nd.
Very cool.
And let's move on to Automatic Lover. They're kind of a newer band within the last year here in Madison. Just, it's music that moves you. Singer, producer from Sonora, Mexico, the singer, a Grammy-nominated disciple of the original funky drummer Clyde Stubblefield, that is Joey B. Banks, his understudy. Keyboards steeped in jazz and salsa meet guitars raised on 80s hardcore and Afrobeat.
Oh, wow.
And a bass that slaps back at acid jazz roots.
Holy smokes.
And a whole horn section. So they're playing Saturday, March 22nd at the Red Rooster here in Madison on Seaforth Road. And this song is kind of interesting. The clip I picked, we're going to start with the guitar solo because I wanted to really check out these guys, how they jam. But they're just a great band. This is a song called Helena. This is Automatic Lover.
Awesome. Boy, the Red Rooster is going to be jumping March 22nd. That's awesome.
I mean, you can't help but move your feet
when
they're playing. I mean, they're just an energetic, super fun band to see.
I love it. That's great.
All right. I got two more for you tonight.
Let's do it.
There's the 7th Annual Respect. It's a celebration of women in music, March 29th at the High Noon Saloon in Madison. And what they do is they have the Big Payback, a band which has a giant horn section, you know, really big. I think it's a 9-piece band. And so what they do is they back a bunch of local female singers from around the area. And then each of those singers kind of cover a woman in music that is extremely famous.
Oh, cool.
So you have people like Teresa Marie, who's the singer from People Brothers band. She's going to be covering Chaka Khan. There is Raquel Ailman, and she'll be covering Madonna, Candice Griffin doing Stevie Nicks, and a whole plethora of different artists from here in Madison who are participating. One of them is Lo Marie, and she's singing a Chapel Roan song, and she's a Madison singer-songwriter who studied music and economics at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and she also tours with a Frank Zappa tribute band called Furious Bongos.
Oh, nice.
And I brought in a song from her last album, and this song is Lo Marie, Fear is a Vampire.
Is a phantom sits on my thoughts, weighing down the freedom of my will alone. Is
very nice.
And Loa Marie will be performing and interviewing on Max Inc. Radio tomorrow night. So tune in.
Oh, cool.
And she'll be playing a couple songs on the radio. And, of course, you can see her with the 7th Annual Respect Show Celebration of Women in Music. That's March 29th at the High Noon Saloon in Madison.
I've never been there. I love that name, High Noon Saloon.
Oh, it's a great, great venue.
Is it lots downtown? Or is it out?
It's Capital East District on East Washington, just east of the Capitol.
Very nice. Awesome, man. All right. Let's move on. What do you got next, buddy?
All right. Let's see.
Road Trip?
Road Trip, yes.
All right.
They are an Oshkosh band. They're jamming as a band for nearly three decades. They're mainly a cover band, but have a bunch of original music. They've won a ton of Whammy Awards over the years, and they're going to be playing all over Wisconsin. I'll go through this list quick because it's a lot. Okay. Saturday, March 22nd at the Hortonville Lanes in the Appleton area. Saturday, March 29th at the Junkyard in Wisconsin Rapids. Saturday, April 5th at the Hill Tavern in Beaver Dam. Saturday, April 12th at the Boulevard right here in Madison. And Friday, April 18th at the Wharf in Manitowoc. And the big thing is that April 24th, they're going to be playing at the Great North Commons during the NFL draft. That's steps from Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
Sweet.
This is their original song. It's called 2 Days. This is Road Trip.
That a lot. That's great.
They're pretty good. They've been around for a long time, so check them out. Find them on online to see their whole schedule. They're playing everywhere.
I just pulled them up. Yeah, this is great. They have a great site too. Check out roadtripband.com if you like that, folks. That's awesome.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, I think Conrad, we doing okay? No, not can we do a quick break first, Rocker?
We sure can.
All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't we got a few? We got about a minute. You want to set this up and then we'll come back and play the song?
Sure. You know, there's this band called Last Crack, and I actually used to manage them back in the early 2000s. They were on Roadrunner Records back in the 90s. And when the singer had heard about what had happened to me, he was like, hey, let's get the band to get back together for a show and do a show called The Rocker Jamboree. So when we come back, I'd like to tell you about the Rocker Jamboree and Last Crack and some other bands that haven't played in 20 years that are reuniting for a great cause, including myself.
That's awesome, man. You must have been a pretty good manager, too, if they're willing to come back and do all this. Most of those relationships, or a lot of them, don't end so well. So good for you. Rocker is here. It's a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do a very quick break, and we'll be right back to wrap this thing up. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did I fall?
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Once you and your spouse retire, you'll have some decisions to make, decisions that could affect your quality of life in your retirement years. For starters, how much should you withdraw each year from your 401k and other retirement accounts? You'll want to avoid taking too much too soon. Next, when should you take Social Security? If you wait until your full retirement age, probably 67, you'll typically get bigger payments than if you started taking benefits at age 62. Also, one spouse's decision may affect the other in terms of spousal benefits. Finally, if you haven't already done so, you'll need to work with your legal professional to decide which estate planning documents are needed, such as a will, a living trust, and various powers of attorney. You and your spouse will want to discuss all your choices and then decide which steps to take. After you've got your plans in place, you may well find that you can fully enjoy your retirement years.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Monday night on Nightlight. We have another great show planned for you guys. The director of A Road at Night, John Roach, will be here. John is also one of the writers of the film The Straight Story, which was co-written by Mary Sweeney and directed by David Lynch. He will be here Monday night at 6:35 to talk about his film that will be in the Wisconsin Film Festival, and actor Ezekiel Drews will be here in the second hour. That's Monday. We have a few more minutes with our guest tonight, Rocker, who is filling in for Terry Barr, his colleague at Max Inc. Radio. And we've been introduced already to four pretty cool bands, and now we have a fifth clip here, Rocker. We kind of set it up, but is there anything else you want to tell us before we get back at it?
Yeah, let me get back to say that my co-hosts, Terry Barr and Jimmy Kay really kind of pioneered this rocker jamboree to kind of help me out. There's been some medical expenses, and also to benefit Mama Cares, which is a division of the Madison Area Music Association. And Mama Cares is a fund that basically helps musicians in their time of crisis. So, you know, more often than not, it's a medical crisis and musicians don't necessarily have health insurance as much as normal people. So they need a little help with Mama Care. So this benefit will have Last Crack, who hasn't performed in 20 years, Magic Seven, which is an offshoot of that band, and people, they're really big here in Madison and around Wisconsin. And that will be Sunday, May the 4th. From 1 to 5 p.m. here in Madison at the Burr Oak. And this is from their latest album, The Uprising, in 2019. We're going to play a song called Three Ghosts. This is Last Crack.
Awesome. Well, there's a sample of what you'll hear at the Rocker Jamboree on May 4th from 1 to 5 p.m. At the Burr Oak. That sounds like a blast, dude.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You'll be able to play by then? And if so, would you?
Well, I won't be playing with any of those bands. Okay. And my band won't be at this event. But I'm hoping to get back to a show around the fall with my band Iron Plow.
Okay. Buddy, I'm so glad you're doing well and you're back at it, at least on Max Inc. It's such a great show. You guys do a phenomenal job, and I really appreciate you filling in for Terry tonight. This has been fun.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. It's been
anytime.
A lot of fun.
All right. Have a great show tomorrow night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Rocker. Check out Max Inc. Radio every Saturday night from 6 to midnight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. They do such a great job. And Terry, by way of Max Inc., has introduced us to so many great bands over the last year on Bar Band Friday night. And this was kind of fun to do things a little differently, right?
Yeah, a little.
I liked hearing a little clip like that of everybody.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. All right. So I'd like to thank Rocker for being here tonight. That was fun. Sean Hannish was a lot of fun to talk to Sean again about his film, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. And Civic Media's own Don Brown. That was a blast, too. Just a lot of fun. Thank you for your text. We do have a text, Conrad, that I haven't read yet. Are you aware of that?
We have two.
And Ali, we know you're trying to call. Apologies. We're having issues with our phones. So I'm sorry we missed your call tonight. But don't give up on us. We'll get this figured out. It gets a little better every day. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, that's in the 715. She says, thanks to Rocker for mentioning Road Trip at Junkyard Bar and Grill in Wisconsin Rapids. Junkyard is one of our local advertising clients here. And that's from Pamela at WFHR. Pamela, thank you as always for listening. Guys are doing great work at WFHR. A lot of award nominations this week. So that'll be exciting to see what happens there. Steady Eddie. What would this show be without a Steady Eddie text? Right. From the 608, our buddy Steadfast Edward says, Pete, about 50 years ago, I worked at a Mexican restaurant, Paco's, on Upper State Street, just down from the Capitol in Madison. All the food was good, but what I remember most is that workers at the restaurant got a free bottle of cerveza beer after their shift was over. It was excellent Mexican beer. Cerveza and Mexican food served together. Es muy bueno. You didn't know I was bilingual, did you, Conrad? I tortured Plato Mixo or whatever it was, but I got this one. I've heard those terms. Steady Eddie, that's awesome. This is all making me hungry again. That's the problem when we do food questions, is my mouth is like watering my entire drive home. And then I'm stuck with like McDonald's and Arby's if I want to eat. Doesn't quite live up to it.
Do you want to do one last update?
Yes, let's hear it. Wow, this is going to wreck everybody's brackets, but Florida looks like they're going to hang on 95-69 over Norfolk State. 47 seconds left. You know, let's see what happens, but it looks like that one's over.
That just ruins my bracket completely.
Everybody, you know? Don't you love, I've noticed it a little bit with this, with the tournament too. Mostly NFL guys do this too. They don't want to lose their viewers. So they're like, this one is not over yet, folks. A couple onside kicks and a Hail Mary, and Buffalo is right back in this one with 2 minutes to go.
They just need to hit like three-pointers every second, and they're good.
It's never happened before, but history could be written tonight. Hey, thanks for being part of Nightlight tonight, everyone. Loved your texts and calls, as always. We will be back Monday on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. And the NCAA tournament. Watch a lot of hoops this week, folks. Enjoy yourselves. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Portions of Texas, Florida, and the Carolinas could use some of the precipitation that the Midwest received this week. Wind is whipping wildfires across bone-dry terrain. More from CBS's Jim Krasula.
Roads have been closed, and there have been evacuations. Several wildfires are burning in the parched mountains of North and South Carolina. Brad Bramlett is with the South Carolina Forestry Commission.
Wind has the greatest effect on wildfires, both the distance that it can spot over and what we call the rate of spread.
One of the biggest fires is in southern Miami-Dade County, near U.S. Highway 1 heading toward the Florida Keys. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
That massive brush fire in South Miami-Dade is approximately 30% contained. Columbia University was in line to lose federal funding under the Trump administration if it didn't make some policy changes when it comes to student protests. It's now doing it. CBS News.